Just want to read a very well-known episode in Acts 17, the book of Acts, chapter 17, which in this JND Bible was on page 1329, Acts chapter 17 and verse 16. But in Athens, while Paul was waiting for them, his spirit was painfully excited in him, seeing the city given up to idolatry. And then verse 18, but some also of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers attacked him. And some said, what would this chatterer say? And some, he seems to be an announcer of foreign demons because he announced the glad tidings of Jesus and the resurrection to them. Verse 21, now all the Athenians and the strangers sojourning there spent their time in nothing else than to tell and to hear the news. And Paul, standing in the midst of Areopagus, said, Athenians, in every way I see you given up to demon worship for passing through and beholding your shrines. I found also an altar on which was inscribed to the unknown God, whom therefore ye reverence, not knowing him, him I announce to you. We'll skip over to verse 30. God therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they should all everywhere repent, because he has set a day in which he is going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, giving the proof of it to all in having raised him from among the dead. I suppose it's pretty obvious that in today's world we are bombarded by news. Hundreds of years ago, the only source of news, I guess, was by a messenger, maybe on a pack horse or something. And it was rare to get news, wasn't it? And then, of course, there's the invention of the printing press and newspapers come along. Monthly, weekly, then daily. Now, 2021, and we're bombarded, aren't we, by news. Constant, 24 hours a day. And most of it is biased. A lot of it is untrue. There's nothing new under the sun, of course, because here Paul found that there's these people. They spent their time in nothing else than to tell and to hear the news. Some things never change, do they? But Paul speaks of something they hadn't heard of before. Something new. Something different to all the philosophies they'd heard of before. I heard a comment the other day, and I think it's quite interesting. You know, it's often been said from this desk, well, you heard the gospel many times. We've all been to the gospel preaching. We've heard the same thing week after week. But in one sense, so what I want you to do tonight is to hear this as if you've never heard it before. Just take a fresh look of what the gospel message is all about, as if you've never heard it before, and it's wonderful news to your ears. Here, it was wonderful news to some. Not all. But the gospel goes out that many might respond. Oh, come to the Saviour, he's calling today. Paul, you know, was distressed. It's interesting, I love this chapter because it speaks so much about the heart of Paul and his wisdom and his knowledge. He says his spirit was painfully excited within him. So that should be the case of every gospel preacher, shouldn't it? That you're yearning that they might come to God. That they are affected by the state of the world. You know, we live in an increasingly dark world. What's happening at the moment is dark. Satan is behind all of it. And it's ripening for judgment. And I know the man who's going to bring about that judgment, as we'll see in a minute. But here, the Apostle Paul was painfully excited. He was feeling for the state of things. And every gospel preacher should be feeling for the state of things. And what did he find? He found the city given up to idolatry. Again, dear friend, nothing new under the sun. What do we find today? There's an idol in every front window. No, it doesn't mean that exactly. What is an idol? It's anything that replaces God in your life. Anything that replaces God in your life. Here you found the whole city given up to idolatry. You go to any big city in London, Piccadilly Circus, or in New York, Times Square, or wherever it is, massive hoardings about people and things. Adverts for people, promoting people or promoting things. The world full of idolatry. People worship their cars, don't they? Worship money. Many things people worship today. But where is God? Where is God in all of this, dear friend? Where is God in your life? As Paul moved on through the city, he came to an altar. And on it was inscribed to the unknown God. Nothing new under the sun, is there? Same today. There's many people, and that may be you, dear friend, do not know God. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. What do you say in your heart tonight, dear friend? Do you believe in God? To the unknown God. Dear friend, the gospel is going out tonight that you may know that God. Might have to do with him. Now, in grace. Because he will have to do with you. We cannot escape what the judgment that is coming. If you don't have to do with God now, dear friend, he will have to do with you. This is the message of the gospel. This is part of the news. Maybe you've heard it before, but I'd like you to think about it again, to listen to the message again. Paul sees this altar to the unknown God, and he says, that's the one I want to announce to you. That very one that you don't know is the one I want to proclaim tonight. The Christian, we have a hymn in this book, don't we? Our God, whom we have known. How is that God known? The second line of that hymn, it says, well known in Jesus' love. How do you know God tonight, dear friend? You know him in Jesus. That's how he's found. People will be celebrating Christmas. What that's supposed to be about. God manifest in flesh. God, the great creator God, come down in the form of a baby. In Bethlehem's manger. God has made himself known. Isn't that the glory of the gospel, dear friend? That this unknown God has made himself known in the person of Jesus. Him I announce to you. What news that is. You know what the gospel is? It literally means good news. And if you have some good news, don't you want to share it? Mostly what we ever look at or hear is bad news. In fact, I've stopped reading the news or looking at it because it's depressing. It's getting worse and more depressing. But thank God we have good news. The gospel is good news. Him I announce to you. What was this message, dear friend? He said, as we work our way through, I didn't read all of it because you know it probably, but he brings out, you know, Paul is very skillful. I wish I had the skill of Paul he was able to take account of the situation. He could see where people were. Of course, the Lord Jesus himself was the ultimate. He got to exactly where the need was. He could work, he knew where people were. But Paul, you know, was a good preacher too, and he could see where people were. I can't see where you are tonight, but God knows. He says that you're worshipping this unknown God, but he's not far from you. That's a good place to start, you know. People think that God is millions of miles away. Don't know him, don't understand him. Is he even there? You know, you read a story in the news about a little boy murdered by his parents, and you think, and people say, where is God? Where is God? Says in Paul says here, he's not far from any of us. Tonight, dear friend, he's not far from you and me. In fact, he's very close. He's come to us in the person of the Son. God desires your blessing. He wants to have to do with you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring you into relationship with himself. He's not far. We had a hymn. I was looking for it, but it's been taken out. Our God is not far off. Tonight in the gospel, dear friend, God is not far off. All you need to do is call out. Maybe one of desperation. People, you know, call out sometimes when things get tough. Don't wait until things get tough. I know it says God's man's extremity is God's opportunity. But you needn't wait till it gets to the last moment, because you never know when that will be. You need to have to do with God now. Have to do with him. Because at the present time he's a God of grace and mercy. But in order for you to come into relationship with God himself, you need to do several things. The first thing is to repent. It's interesting, isn't it? Paul assesses the situation. He sees all that's going on. And he says, God, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent. Repentance towards God. What does that mean, dear friend? It means that I'm sorry for my sins. It means that I've done wrong. It means that God is absolutely right in everything he does and everything he says. The young man in Luke 15, he repented, didn't he? He says, I have sinned. I have sinned. Have you ever said that to God, dear friend? Have you ever actually said, I have sinned? You can know you can, people fool themselves and they can fool other people, but you can't fool God. Dear friend, be honest tonight before God, a holy and a righteous God. Be honest. And God is asking you to repent. I was thinking just now before of, you know, the message of Jonah. Nearly everybody, even those that are not Christians at all in the world, everyone knows the story of Jonah. What was his message? It was a message of judgment, wasn't it? He said in 40 days this city is going to be destroyed. One of the greatest miracles of the Old Testament. They all repented. All of them. I wonder if you are too proud tonight to repent. Because you see, repentance, if you're repenting, it means that all your pride has to go. You realize that I'm nothing. I deserve hell. I deserve judgment. I deserve death. I have sinned and I've done what is wrong. But you know, there's blessing in doing that. Because God loves to come in to the person that cries to him. Jesus, we often speak about those two men the tax gatherer, the Pharisee and the tax gatherer. The one that wouldn't look even up his eyes to heaven. He said, I've sinned. And it says he went down to his house justified. I'd love it tonight if every one of us went down to his house justified. What does that mean? It means that everything has been put right and God can look at you as if everything has been settled. Every question of guilt and sin has been done away with because of the sacrifice of Jesus. He went down to his house justified. He was put on a completely new footing. Tonight, dear friend, I would love it. More importantly, God would rejoice. In fact, it says there's rejoicing in heaven tonight over sinners that repent. You think of that. If you repent tonight, dear friend, there's rejoicing in heaven. There'll be rejoicing in this hall too. Your family, the brethren, many will rejoice if you repent tonight. But there's rejoicing in heaven. Dear friend, tonight, if you ever made that step, repentance towards God. And then the second thing, faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. It says the reason that Paul gives for repentance is there's going to be a day when he judges the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed. That's the one I want to speak about briefly. By the man. Who is this man? It's Jesus. God's beloved son. That day is set, you know. People say, I don't know why God goes on with things, or even if there is a God, because the world seems to be getting more evil and darker and crazier every day. Why doesn't God come in judgment? Men are openly rebelling against him, aren't they? Openly rebelling. Everything that's true and right, according to the scriptures, man is rebelling against. He has set a day when he's going to judge the habitable world. That means the earth here, this very planet on which billions live, and he's going to judge it. Jesus, the man who he's appointed. Jesus is God's appointed man. Not any politician, not any scientist. Jesus, God's appointed man. But you need to have faith in him. Because although he's portrayed here as the judge, today, right now, he can be your saviour. The very one that will judge the earth in righteousness is the one in the gospel that we commend to you as a saviour. No wonder it's good news, isn't it? I can't offer you any good news in this world. There is none. As non-believers, if we were that, I would be ultimately depressed about the situation in the world tonight. But as a believer, I've got hope. And it lies not in politicians or in scientists. It lies in this blessed man, God's appointed man, who will shortly judge the earth, but is also presented now as a saviour. Saviour for sinners. We often sing that hymn, don't we? Saviour of sinners like me. Because you see, sin needs to be dealt with. God is a righteous God. It says he will judge the world, habitable world, in righteousness. God is righteous. There's no righteousness. There is no righteousness anywhere else. Not in my heart, not in yours, not in any man we see. But, you know, sin has to be dealt with. God is not to be mocked. Some mocked at the end. I didn't read that. I'll maybe briefly say something before the end, but some mocked. But God tonight, I can tell you, is not mocked. But tonight he's appealing to you. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it, that God is appealing to you. He's inviting you to come to salvation. Interesting, actually, he's commanding you to repent. God enjoins. God is commanding you to repent because you have sinned and I have sinned. And we need to get right with God. But at the same time, God is also appealing to you. And he's asking you to come and have to do with the one who died in our place. It's the wonderful news of the gospel, isn't it? That I, as a sinner, can come into God's presence, not on my own merit. I can come as one who's been justified, one who's been made clean, all my sins have been forgiven because of this man. Paul doesn't go into the details here of the cross or the blood, but it's all by this man. And we know, I'm sure Paul actually would have told the whole gospel story. But the proof of it is in raising him from the dead. This is what Paul says here. He's going to judge the whole earth because of and the proof of it is in him being raised from the dead. I was saying about news, and we don't believe half what we read, do we? News is unreliable. Mr. Trump and his fake news. There is a lot of fake news, isn't there? This is not fake news, dear friend. This is the absolute truth of the glad tidings. You can trust it absolutely. And therefore, dear friend, tonight, God is appealing to you to repent. He's commanding you to repent, but he's appealing to you to put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus. This man that God has appointed. The proof of it is in him being raised from the dead. Where is Jesus now? It's not on the cross. It's not in the grave. He's in the glory. It's a living Saviour. Doesn't that give you hope, dear friend? There's no hope in this world, but as a believer in Jesus, as someone who trusts him and believes in him. This is what we were reading this afternoon, wasn't it? There were some that saw what Jesus had done and they believed just because of the excitement of the moment. But the gospel goes out that you might trust in that person. Put your absolute trust in him so that your life depends on it. Sometimes people say, my life depends upon it. What does your life depend upon? I can say through grace that my life depends upon that blessed man, Jesus, the one who gave his life for me. He died the just for the unjust. That's what the scripture says. I was unjust. I was the sinner. Jesus was the just one. He never did anything wrong. He was perfect. And yet in God's wonderful plan of salvation, the just died for the unjust. What to bring us to God. Dear friend, tonight, just quite simply, have you heard this many times? Just think about it again. Think it through. Marvel at the grace of God and the love of God that's behind it. Repent of your sin. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus. Proof of it is living. I don't trust a dead person. I trust a living Saviour. Tonight, dear friend, who are you trusting? Are you trusting in this world? I feel sorry for you. Dear friend, tonight, the appeal goes out that you might trust this living Saviour. The one who's soon going to judge the whole earth in righteousness. How the world is longing for someone that can do that. We know that before that happens, they will choose somebody else, the wrong man. But dear friend, tonight, make sure you choose the right man, the Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son. The end of the story here, that some believed and some mocked. Some said, we'll hear you again. Dear friend, tonight, what a solemn ending in some ways. to the gospel preaching. This good news has gone out once again tonight in this hall. Wonderful good news, the gospel. Good news. Are you going to believe? Are you going to mock? Or are you going to say, we'll hear you again? Hear you next week. Maybe it makes more sense next week. Dear friends, the appeal is now. How often, we had a word about this the other week, didn't we? Now, today is the day of salvation. Come to the Lord Jesus today. Come now. Trust this peerless Saviour, that's what we sing. So, I just leave that with you, dear friend. Listen to the wonderful news. What good news it is. We should be full of it, shouldn't we? In amidst a world which is so depressing and dark, we as trusting in the Lord Jesus should be full of hope. And we have this, because we have this wonderful news to share. I just leave it with you for his name's sake. Amen.